Hey, good morning, everyone. Three of us are awake, and I am not one of those three. Hey, guys, it is awesome that you are here with us, whether you're joining us online or whether you are here in the house. We just want to say welcome home to Tree City Church. We are so excited. We are so glad that you have chosen to come and be a part of our worship service today. So if you have your phone and you're visiting us, whether you're visiting us either online or whether you're watching us live right now, would you do me the favor of checking in on Facebook? Just check in to Tree City Church on Facebook. Let people know that you're joining us. And so this is one of the easiest ways that you can invite people. Last I read, statistics show that anytime you check in at a place, between 200 and 300 people will see that check-in. What a powerful, powerful invite tool just to be like, hey, I'm at Tree City Church, and next week you should be too. So would you do me a favor sometime today, check in on Tree City Church. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. I do want to remind everyone we are still continuing to practice social distancing, and so we do still have all the chairs spread out for our families to be able to maintain 6 feet of separation from one another, and we would just ask that you would continue to join us in that effort to make sure we are continuing to make this as safe a worship experience as we can possibly make it. And we are doing a lot of touchless things right now. One of those things that we are doing is we are not handing out worship guides. And so whether you're in-house or joining online, you can go to treecitychurch.com/bulletins. If you're watching on Facebook Live right now, you'll see a link. We can just click on that link. It'll take you straight to that page where you can click on today's date and follow along with all of our songs, follow along with all of our announcements, all of our scripture, all that kind of stuff. So make sure you follow along with us and do me a favor. Down at the very bottom of that, check in on that. It has a little form that you can fill out to let us know that you have recorded your visit so we can be praying with you and for you. Guys, I'm really excited for today. We are wrapping up our sermon series on For Pete's Sake, and I hope you've been blessed by it, because I think this last week of it is going to really, really make an impact and sort of bring everything together. And I hope you're blessed by it. In just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, but before we do that, we're going to go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you so much for this incredible opportunity that we have to be able to gather together under one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. So we pray, God, with everything that we have and everything that we are, that we could just be in a state of surrender right now. That with everything that is going on in the world, all the things that are going on in our lives, all of these struggles, the trials, these storms that we find ourselves in, help us to know that you are the anchor. Help us to rest in your love. Help us to rest in your grace and your mercy. Father God, help us to be able to just, for this next hour, to set all of that aside, to be able to focus just on you, the love that you have for us, the love that you displayed for us through your Son. And help us to just be able to focus on what it is that you would have us to do. Help us to be in a state of surrender right now to say that whatever you are calling us towards today, let our answer be yes. Without any hesitation, without any sort of pause, let us to just be in a state of yes. God, we love you. We trust you because we know that you love us and you have an amazing plan for each and every one of us. God, we are so humbled and honored that we get to be a part of your plan. God, we love you, we thank you, we celebrate you, and it is in the redeeming name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. My friends, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. Would you stand and worship with us? I would rather be.
I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be.
Broken so I can be healed. Since I'm so
so careless, and I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken.
God, you are altogether lovely. You are altogether wonderful. And whenever we step into your presence, what an incredible gift that we are given. Scripture tells us that we are invited to come before the very throne of God, where even angels fear the tread, that we may approach God with boldness, with honesty. And so today, let that be our heart today, that we are just coming as we are with boldness and with honesty and with the declaration that we are nothing without you, Lord Jesus. God, we are so excited just to lift you up, because only you deserve to be on the altar of our hearts. Only you are worthy of our praise. So let this time be for that purpose, to praise, to glorify, and to honor you. God, we love you, we thank you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so, again, we are excited that you are joining us, whether you are in-house, whether you're online. Again, I want to remind you, if in case you weren't able to catch it before, if you'll go to treecitychurchtn.com/bulletins, you're going to be able to follow along with all of our scriptures and everything on there. But today we are wrapping up our sermon series called For Pete's Sake. Today we're going to be talking about the wonder in our weakness. But this sermon series, I feel like it's been such a timely series for us because, you know, we have been in a, really as a country and as a community, we are going through a time where for many of us, we've been stuck at home in, with our own thoughts, right? Anybody? I'm an essential worker in retail, so I didn't get to play the quarantine, but I know Michelle was going insane. She was like, I would love to just be back with my kids at school. Miss Dana, I see you nodding your head. You're like, you know, this is for the birds. But, you know, it's so easy when we're isolated to become trapped in our own heads, isn't it? It's really easy to do that. And I feel like that's so much of what we have been learning and examining and discovering from the life of Peter, particularly from the failures of Peter and the redemptive glory that is found in Jesus Christ, is that, you know, I am certain that Peter beat himself up far more than we are seeing in Scripture. Because wouldn't you have? Wouldn't any one of us have kicked ourselves and beat ourselves up, particularly if the very man that he has been following for the last 3.5 years is now gone? And what was his normal was flipped on its head, just like it has been for so many of us. Our normal has been flipped on its head. And so we find ourselves in that state of being introspective and being retrospective and examining the mistakes that we have made. Does anybody else get caught in their own head? Because I know for me, whenever I can get, there's no greater enemy for me than me. A lot of the times, I am my own worst enemy because I kick myself when I am down and I remember all the mistakes that I made. And so that's what we've been trying to do, is kind of learn from the mistakes of Peter, so that we can get out of our own heads, because that's where God is calling us to. He's calling us to into his purposes. And so it's hard for us to reflect on his purposes when we are stuck in our own past. And so that's what we've been kind of examining, and I hope this sermon series has been as much of a blessing to you as it has been for me. I know I personally have grown a lot from it, so even if I was just preaching to me, I'm glad I did it. And so I hope this was a blessing to you. But, you know, we're trying to learn from the life of Peter, and I tried a little too hard yesterday. Those of you who are there, you're already laughing, and I know why. See, Chad and Leanne, they invited Michelle and I, like, hey, let's go kayaking. I'm going to give you a really long story in a very short phrase. I did not learn to walk on water as Peter did. And I'm not that great a swimmer. We learned that. Poor Chad, he had to haul me, like, I don't know, across 3 counties it felt like, after I dumped a kayak and couldn't get back in the blessed thing. So anyways, what I have learned from Peter is that he can walk on water sometimes, but I can't. So anyways, we are learning these hard lessons from Peter. And, as Chad was rowing me back to shore, I was just kind of holding on to a life jacket. He was dragging me along through the water. And he says, there's a sermon illustration in there somewhere. And I'm like, it's coming sooner than you think, man. But, you know, yesterday, I rolled that thing over and I discovered there's no way for me to get back in this kayak. There was no way for me to do it. And in that moment, I was useless on my own. The kayak was heavy. It was upside down, so it was dragging the water. I wasn't pushing and swimming that thing to shore. I was just laying on it, thinking, goodness, what kind of mess have I gotten myself into? This was a terrible idea. Had a lot of fun, but it was a terrible idea to put 300 and none of your business in a kayak and expect that to happen. Yeah, I'm not graceful, y'all. And so, you know, I realized that I was useless in that moment on my own. And I think when we think about our past, when we think about our pains, when we think about the storms that we find ourselves in, we start thinking about ourselves and we realize I am useless on my own. I have made a mess for myself. Maybe I didn't make a mess for myself. Maybe you're like me and you didn't know how to navigate. You didn't know how to operate in the circumstances that you found yourselves in, and then you found yourself in trouble. Now, I'm talking about kayaking, but how many of us have found ourselves in storms in life where maybe you got yourself there and maybe something just happened that left you there? But at any rate, you find yourself in a situation, you say, I am no use to me in this moment. Anybody else ever felt like that? Maybe that's where you find yourself right now. You think, there's something wrong with me. And that's the problem is, that's where we get stuck in our thinking. That's where we get hung up in it, is we realize that we are nothing on our own, and then we just sit there. And that is not a healthy place for us to be in, because yes, it is true. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the storms of life, when it comes to the messes that we find ourselves in, we are of no use to ourselves. But praise God, we don't have to navigate these circumstances on our own. Because God intervenes, God steps in. God is a living, breathing, active God who is working in the lives of each and every person who believes on the name of Jesus Christ. And so whenever I say I am nothing on my own, I am useless on my own, absolutely, but guess what? Jesus has a use for you, and Jesus, just like Chad comes along and pulls me back to shore, Jesus is right there going, hang on to me. I am an anchor. I'm going to get you through this storm. I am the lighthouse guiding you to shelter. Guys, I am ready to preach. I hope you're ready to hear it. Because whenever we find ourselves thinking about how we are useless, don't stop there. We are useless, but God said he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And we need to meditate on that. We need to focus on that. We need to think about what purposes, what does Jesus want to do through this? I remember whenever I was going through my divorce, my mind was in a mess because I was thinking, what has this done to my ministry? What has this done to my ministry? What's going to happen every time whenever it comes time for me to speak into a marriage? And somebody's going to look at me and say, well, what do you know about it? Because you've been divorced. So what's this going to do to my ministry? I had grown up under that Southern Baptist tradition of once you've been divorced, you're kind of useless to God in terms of ministry. And I'm not here to argue that semantic, but I had never had to meditate on that. And so I had to think about, what does this mean to my ministry? Forget all the personal stuff, all the emotional stuff, all the practical decisions I had to go through on a personal level. What is this going to do to my ministry? It just started. And now I'm going through this, and am I ever going to be able to step behind a pulpit again? Am I ever going to be able to speak into the lives of somebody again? And the reality has become that I've been able to speak into far more lives because I went through a divorce than I ever could have on my own. I don't want to gloss over that. Guys, I want you to know that because I went through a divorce, I have greater access through ministry than I ever would have had it on my own. It doesn't make it not hurt. It didn't make it not a painful time. It didn't make it not a storm in my life. But what happened was Jesus come along, and he threw out a floaty, and he said, come along with me. I'm going to pull you to the shore. This is what Jesus did in my life, and I am nothing special. Michelle's been married to me for almost 4 years. She'll tell you I'm nothing special. Miss Dana had me in class twice. God was mean to her, but I'm just kidding. Gosh, she was an incredible teacher. She put up with me, and I still passed the class. That's how good a teacher she is. But she'll tell you I'm nothing special. I was just another one of 20-ish, 30-ish kids. right? I'm just a normal person. But because God has a sense of humor, here I am preaching to her. And I know she's back there going, I learned him some better English than that. So whenever I think about my storms and I think about who I used to be, the problem is I can get stuck there. But the reality is Jesus does not want us stuck there. He's taking us places. He's taking you places, and he wants you to think about that. He wants you to be focused on that. He wants you to be aimed towards that. A couple years ago, my grandmother passed away, and all of my other grandparents, one had passed away before I was ever born, and the other two, the middle two, had passed away when I was 5 and 7, I believe. So I never really had, you know, those strong connective feelings of that relationship with my grandmothers or my grandfathers, except for this one. My grandma, you know, my dad's mother, it hit me hard. Because this was the only grandmother that I really knew. And it hit me hard. I mean, Michelle was there to guide me and comfort me in that time. It hit me hard. And I thought, what in the world can I do with this? A couple months ago, I'm escorting a new associate through the store, and a manager comes up to me. She says, I need you to go to your office right now. Well, I'm giving this new employee a tour of the building. This is kind of a big deal. I'll take him. Now, management has a lot going on, so for one of them to stop it and go, I need you to go to your office and I will do your job. All right, what's going on here? So I make the handoff and I walk as fast as I could to my office, and there's this girl sitting in the office. She's one of our employees, and I put her in her very early 20s. Maybe she's not even 20 yet, I don't know. But she's a very young girl, and she's having a complete breakdown in my office. And so automatically my mind is going to, like, you know, what customer cussed you out, or, you know, did a boss say something they shouldn't have said, you know, maybe this is something a manager should be addressing, why did a manager come get me? She's having this huge breakdown, and so I'm like, what happened, what it do? And she says, my grandmother is dying. She's literally dying right now, and because of COVID, I can't even go say goodbye to her. Now, I can't imagine that. I got to say goodbye to my grandmother. But at any rate, those wounds were still fresh, and I understood her hurt. I understood her pain. God had taken my pain and allowed... Management has already... Two or three managers have already walked past her and tried to comfort her, but no, she wants a minister. She wants a person that she knows is a person of God. She says, I don't know anything about this stuff, but I know you're a person who prays. Would you pray with me? And because I had gone through it myself, I understood exactly how she was hurting. And I was able to pray with her in that moment. I was able to point her to Jesus. We're still having those conversations about who is Jesus in her life. Because I went through the pain of losing a grandmother. Now I am able to speak into somebody else who has gone through the same pain. This is the point that I'm making, gang, is that your storm, your pain, your past, God can use each and every one of these just as we're exploring how he's been doing for Peter. And so this is what I want us to ask ourselves, because have anybody here ever asked themselves, what in the world is God going to do with this broken mess of me? Anybody else ever thought, I am in this crazy nightmare of a situation. How in the world is this supposed to be used for his glory, for his name's sake? I mean, I look at Romans chapter 8, and I know it tells me that he uses all things for the good of those who are found in Christ Jesus, but I see nothing good in this right now. Anybody else ever found themselves in that moment? And maybe right now you are in that very storm. But we need to understand something, my friends. We need to understand that the broken moments that we find ourselves in are the perfect stage for God to be glorified and honored. And that's where we kind of find ourselves right now. As we dive into, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're reading verses 1 through 15. It says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And they saw tongues of flames of fire that separated on and rested on each one of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. But when this sound occurred, a crowd came together. And they were confused because each one of them heard speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed. And they were looking around and talking to each other, saying, "Look, aren't all of these people the ones who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of them or each of us can hear them in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But some of them sneered and said, 'They're drunk on new wine.' But Peter," here's the guy that we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, "Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, 'Follow, fellow Jews and all the residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 in the morning." So here we are. Peter has gone through a whole lot in a short amount of time because he's gone from being the guy who denied Christ 3 times to the guy that was redeemed by Christ 3 times over the coals. And now he finds himself, Jesus has already ascended to heaven. And so he's just hanging out going, Jesus said there was a comforter coming. And I don't really know what that means because we haven't really experienced any of that stuff. And so I don't really know what to expect. So let's just go up to an upper room and pray. Let's just go up to an upper room and pray because we don't really know what else to do. And so this is where Peter finds himself. He's surrounded by about 120 people. And there's this loud, violent, rushing wind. So, they always get the biggest redneck for the tornado videos on the news. It sounded like a train. That's what I imagine, okay? Loud, humongous tornado kind of noises, right? And here comes Peter going, "It sounded like a train." No, we see this loud noise come down, and we see these tongues of fire rest on each and every one of them. And that's important. We'll come back to that. But it rests on each and every one of them. And all of them, all 120 of these people. Now, I've been to Guatemala a couple times, and I've practiced Spanish a little bit, but I promise you, I am by no means fluent. And have I not spent some time trying to learn it? I have spent some time trying to learn Spanish. Guys, it's hard. And all of a sudden, 120 people are suddenly fluent in another person's tongue. Wild stuff happening here. And so all of these people, they've been following Jesus for a while, and they have had the Holy Spirit with them because the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. So they have been with the Holy Spirit. They have been with the Spirit of God. But now the Spirit of God is in them. Now the Spirit of God is in them, and this is of a huge, significant importance because the Spirit of God came and filled in each and every one of these people. So this is where Peter finds himself in the midst of all of this chaos. He stands up, and this is incredible when we think about where he has come from to what he's about to do. Because what he does is, why are you saying they're drunk? It's only 9 in the morning. We haven't been awake long enough to get drunk. So why are you even saying that? No. I'm going to explain to you what's happening there. And he preaches this nice, long, beautiful, eloquent message that lays the very foundation for the New Testament church that we find ourselves in today. He is about to preach the sermon upon which Jesus said he would build his church through Peter. Do we remember that? Remember he said, "Peter, or Simon, now your name is Peter because it means rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church." And here is Peter preaching the sermon that is about to start the New Testament church. So we have gone from being the Peter that was so afraid of a crowd that he would deny Jesus three times, to now getting up and standing. We got to understand, Jerusalem is packed right now. In this moment, Jerusalem is a packed house. And there's been this loud, it sounded like a train noise that just took place. So of course it drew a crowd. So now he is standing up before this huge crowd, the very guy who was too timid in front of a small crowd to acknowledge Jesus is now about to proclaim the gospel. This is huge, because now he has no longer just been with the Spirit of God, but now he is filled with the Spirit of God. He's no longer the timid guy denying Christ. He is the emboldened proclaimer of the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. He's preached this message that he has confronted each and every one of them with the gospel. He's saying, listen, you and I, we are the ones who hung this Jesus on a cross. So repent and believe. And so these people, they're saying, well, they have heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They were convicted. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. So what was the difference? What made the difference between Peter being the guy who was so afraid of a small crowd that now he is standing before a big crowd proclaiming the gospel with such boldness that it builds a very foundation for this church? What makes the difference? God makes the difference. God makes the difference in your mess. God makes the difference in your storm. God makes the difference in your past between it being a waste and it being used. God makes the difference. Peter had fallen because of people, but now he is fueled by the Holy Spirit and not by the opinion of people. Now he is doing things for the glory of God and not for his own glory. So this is the culmination of God's grace in the life of Peter. This is what it's all been pointing up to, all been building up to for the last 3.5 years. It's all been leading up to this moment, just because Jesus said, I'm changing your name to the rock, because on this rock I will build my church. The man who had been too scared to even confess his association with Jesus is now standing up in front of literally thousands of people from all over the world. So we see that the place of Peter's greatest weakness became a place where God revealed his glory. The place of Peter's greatest, it was in Jerusalem. It was in front of a small crowd that his greatest weakness shone through. And now we are in a place where God reveals his glory. And this is how we get our church today. As we continue on, Acts chapter 2. This is 42 through 47. This is where we get the idea of how we church. This is where we get the idea of how we interact with one another. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all of the believers were together and held things in common. They sold their possessions and their property and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. And they broke bread from house to house. And they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So we've read a lot of scripture, but I want us to think through what has happened. Because we started this series talking about the three denials of Peter. And then we've worked through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in the life of Peter. and because Peter responded to it, because Peter submitted to the redemptive work of Jesus. We are now seeing him lead thousands of people. We are seeing people being reached through the 120. Remember, every one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in different tongues. Is that not incredible? I mean, what a incredible 180. But it all started with him denying Christ three times, just not being submitted to the will of Jesus. And this is what happens when we take that pain, that past, and say, Jesus, I've made a mess, but I trust that you can fix it. See, guys, we don't have to hide our broken pieces. We don't have to hide that. I know it's our natural instinct to, because we're embarrassed by it, right? I mean, yesterday I was not saying, hey, look at me, I flipped the kayak, this is awesome. It was, honestly, in the initial moment, this was a little embarrassing. I was embarrassed before I hit water. So as soon as I felt it go, and I was like, uh-oh, awkward, and I'm in the water. But what if I'd been out there alone? Be a much different story. It'd be a lot different story today. We can choose to be embarrassed and try to hide it from God. Or we can say, God, I have made a mess. My brokenness has led me to a broken place that I cannot claw myself out of. Now, every time I try to bring broken things in to fix it, I just get more broken. I need a lifeline. And maybe today you're saying, I need a lifeline. My friends, I want you to know that we don't have to hide the broken pieces, because it is with broken pieces that God builds his biggest platforms. You're in here having to suffer under my preaching, and I'm a pretty broken dude. But God takes my mistakes, my past, my pain, and he uses it, and he... Again, there's nothing special about me, but there's something special about the Jesus that I follow. There's something special about the Spirit of God that fills me, because it makes up for all of the insufficiencies that I am. It is with the biggest pieces that God builds his biggest platform. What broken pieces do you need to surrender to him today? Because you need to understand that God is not done with you. If there is still breath within your lungs, God is not done with you. If you're still alive, God is not done with you. Regardless of what you have walked through, how many mistakes that you have made, no matter who has dismissed you, God is not done with you. I want us to look again at Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. I want us to catch this. I kind of pointed it out, but I really want us to examine this. It says, then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and they were confused because each one of them heard speaking in their own language. There's a popular saying among pastors, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I am not qualified to preach this gospel. I am definitely not qualified to pastor this church. But Jesus called me to do it. And because he called me to do it, he qualified me to do it. And just as he's qualified me, just as he qualified Peter, he qualifies you. This is what Jesus does. He qualifies those who otherwise wouldn't be. A little bit in a different passage, these people who are watching Peter and the apostles preach are going, how are these guys speaking with such eloquence, with such boldness? Because clearly these are just normal men. What they're really saying is, who are these idiots to be able to speak with such boldness. Because the reality is, God has qualified you, each and every one of us, to speak life, to speak truth, to speak grace, to speak mercy into the loves of every single person that you would meet. See, for this setting, we have the book of Acts. We know what plays out. Peter and the boys, they didn't have the book of Acts. They're living through this. And so Pentecost, this is a different setting for them. Because for us, we think of Pentecost and we think of like, oh yeah, the tongues of fire and everybody speaking in different languages and all this stuff, right? That's what, when we say Pentecost, isn't that what we think of, right? I mean, the Pentecostal church is built upon their belief in being able to speak in the tongues of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not here to speak for or against that. I'm just saying, you know, that's what, when we think of Pentecost, that's what we think of. But for Peter and the boys, they don't think of it that way. This was the festival of the harvest. That's what's playing out in their culture in that moment. And so there was this festival of the harvest, and it's all tied into when Passover occurred. And so it's basically a big, big party. And so Jews from all over the place have come to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival of harvests. So remember, if you read it carefully, it said they were people from every nation under heaven. There's a lot of folks, a lot of different tongues, a lot of different languages that could be found in Jerusalem in this moment. And here they are all suddenly hearing people filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking into their lives in their tongue. My friends, I don't care what it is that you have gone through, as long as you surrender it to God, He's going to be able to use it to speak into the life of somebody else. Your pain may be the same language. My lost grandmother was the same language that I needed to speak whenever I was speaking into my employee's lost grandmother. My pain allowed me to speak the language of pain. And it may be that whatever pain, whatever storm, whatever trial, whatever circumstance it is that you are going through right now, it may be that Jesus is building a platform. He is teaching you another language to be able to speak into the lives of someone else. What are you going to do with it? Because He may be setting a stage in your life. And He may be giving you access that you would not have without it, as we close. I wonder if just someone here today would reflect and say, you know what, Kevin, right now I've been going through some stuff, or maybe this is something that's happened recently, maybe this is something that's far in the past, but I have found myself unable to move forward from this. I have found myself unable to really rest in the redemptive glory that is found in Jesus in this circumstance in my life. I believe Jesus forgives. I believe Jesus can erase all things. I believe that Jesus can cure all things. I believe that Jesus can work a miracle in my life. But for some reason, I cannot let this go. And today is the day that I'm going to say I am surrendering all of this to Jesus. I'm surrendering my mess to Jesus. I'm surrendering my pain to Jesus. I'm surrendering my brokenness to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, is that you today? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand to say, God, Kevin, I have pain in my life, and I need to be able to see what God is going to do with it. And I'm surrendering everything that I have to Jesus, both the good and the bad, my brokenness to Jesus. Is that you today? God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe you're watching online. You would say, you know what? I'm going to let my life, all of the good, all of the bad, everything that I have within me, I'm going to let it be used to glorify Jesus. And today I'm surrendering all of that to Him. Maybe you're watching online right now. Would you just comment the word speak in the comment feed? The word speak. Our prayer counselors are online. Somebody would be honored to pray with you, to pray for you. Would you just type the word speak? Say, Kevin, I'm going to let my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, glorify Him. I've got some past, I've got some pain that I need to set down. But today, with just the one simple word, speak, I am setting that down, and I'm trusting Him to be glorified and honored with it. Maybe today you're watching or you're here and you say, you know what? I have never been able to say that I have surrendered my life to Jesus. But Romans 10 verse 13, it tells us that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone could be you. Not those who have their lives together. Not those who have never messed up. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe today you need to make that decision. Maybe today you need to say, I'm tired of trying to live for my own glory. I'm tired of trying to rule my own kingdom. Because that's just not working. It's just not working. And maybe today there's someone here who would say, you know what? I need to call on the name of Jesus and mean it for the very first time in my life. Is that you today? Anyone in this house that would say that today? Maybe you're watching online. Well, I want you to type the word Jesus. Just proclaim the name of Jesus. Just type that one word in the comment feed. Maybe you're watching online during the replay. You can still message us on Facebook. You can email us prayer@treecitychurchtn.com. But maybe today you need to say yes to Jesus and mean it for the very first time. Is that you? Just a moment. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. We're going to ask you to do something that we don't typically do, and that is to stay in your seat. You can stand, but we would ask that you not come forward to the altar. Right now, we're still trying to practice that social distancing, so we would encourage you to make an altar right there where you sit, right there where you stand. Would you surrender everything to Him? God, we love you. We thank you so much for the Spirit of God that fills each and every believer. We thank you so much for God, who throws the lifeline, and who can redeem us, who can restore us, who can rescue us and give us a new purpose and a new path in life. And we pray, God, with everything that we have, all the good, all the bad, all the pain, all the hurt, we surrender each and everything to you to say, God, just be glorified in it. Use me. Use everything that I have, everything that is within me. Use it for your name's sake, for your glory's sake, so that I would be able to speak life into the people of those who are around me. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you so much for what it is that you are doing. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?
Stay in rain.
than this word of God speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest.
Amen. You can be seated.
Thank you, my hero.
You can be seated. We'll be dismissing here in just a few moments. I just have a couple of quick announcements. I want to run by you. First thing I want to remind you is that we do have three ways that you can give. And we can either give back at the offering box. We're not doing any kind of offering plates or anything like that. We don't normally do that anyways. But definitely in this time, we just ask that you would drop your gift back there in the offering box. You can also go to Tithely, download the Tithely app on your smart device, and make sure you search for the correct church, as Leanne illustrated for us last week. Otherwise, you never know where your gift is going. But hey, as long as you tithe, praise God. Just type in our church, pull that up, you can give that way. Or you can go to treecitychurchtn.com, and there's a giving option over on the left that you can give through that way. And I just want to say thank you so much for those of you who have been faithful to give. It is because of your giving that because we weren't meeting here, doesn't mean the utilities got turned off, doesn't mean we had to quit paying rent, things like that. And it's because of your faithful giving, God was able to provide everything that we needed to be able to continue on with our ministry. And so I just want to say thank you for that. It just means so much to me, and I'm really impacted by the way that God is using you in your life. And we are so excited. We're so grateful that you chose to worship with us today. Again, whether you're in-house or online, we are honored to spend this time with you. In just a moment, we're going to be dismissed. Chad, would you care to go ahead and pray for us?